Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Fantastic. Good morning, church. How are you doing? It is great to be here. I love church in general, but I specifically love this church and I love your pastors. They are, let me just get this open, they are two of the greatest people. Beyond ministers, beyond pastors, beyond leaders, they are great, great people. They're the real deal. They carry you in their heart. They've got a love for God that is just magnificent. Every conversation we have, it's about people. It's about team. It's about what they're doing and what they're thinking. And I just love how intentional they are. I love how much they want you to live your best life, to enter into what God's called you to do, to step up, to step out, to reach the heights that you've been created and destined for. Can you thank your pastors? They are magnificent. If we never got to minister together, but we got to do life together and just be friends, I'd be really happy. It's one of those relationships where it's just easy, and it's fun, and there's a whole lot of laughter. There's not a whole lot of reverence. Like yesterday, I confession time, I am a little wounded. I will get over it. The Bible says you have to forgive lest you be forgiven. And Phil made a reference to the fact that I am Julia Roberts' leg double. I didn't have time to go and buy another pair of jeans, so today I'm still... If you take a photo from the waist down, you'll... But anyway, I'll get over it. I'll get beyond it. Pray for me. Just reach your hands out. Church should be fun. Life should be fun. God is good. He created us for His pleasure. That's what the Word says. We're made by God and for God. And He takes pleasure in our existence. God, the reason there'd be a commissioning service for you to step out in the things of God is so that you wouldn't conform to the ways of the world. Because life and society wants to hem you in and limit you and stop you being all that you've created to be, because what you've been created to be is the reflection and image of God in the earth. He created you in His image and filled you with His Spirit and calls you according to His purpose for His good pleasure. Because when we fully live, when we do all that we've been created to do, when we fully enjoy all that's been created for us, the world sees God as He is. And God is awesome. And I've been blessed enough for over the last 25 years to travel the world and kind of run in my lane. And I want to talk to you about running in your lane this morning. Because the Bible talks to us about the fact that we're a body. And we all have a part to play. There is a place for you in this house. There's a place for you in the kingdom of God. And when you do what you do and I do what I do, the kingdom grows. And so the aim of church and the aim of walking with Christ is that the kingdom would be manifest in the earth. That it would be continually growing and outreaching beyond the borders and walls of the church. And that lives would be impacted and transformed in Jesus' name. So I'm really excited. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited for this house. And last time I was here, I got a word that growth was coming. Growth was on its way. And I think since that point, you guys have just, you know, grown and seen God do amazing things. And the thing is this, it's God that grows the church. We just partner with Him. He wants you to partner with Him to see the kingdom grow. And I know you're focusing on comfortable, being uncomfortable. And that's a cool thing, because in reality, by default, all of us look for comfortable or easy or convenient or the things that fill us. But God's saying, I haven't created you for comfort. I've created you for adventure. I've created you to step out. I've created you to reach out beyond you. I want my life to flow through your life into the world around you. God's not interested in safe. He's designed each of us for fearless adventure in life. And I don't know, I want to adventure through this life. And I got to tell you, there's twists, there's turns, there's ups, there's downs. But when we adventure in life with Christ, anointed of heaven, empowered of heaven, I love what Pastor Phil was saying, you know, in Acts, and the Holy Spirit is still being poured out upon the earth today. It says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we got to be God seekers and wanting the Holy Spirit in our life to receive the power and the empowerment for the life that God's called us to. And honestly, as I travel, I've seen people healed all across the globe. I've seen people with blind eyes see, deaf ears hear, with cancers that fell from their body. I've seen paralyzed people get up out of their wheelchairs and walk for the first time. I remember being in the Philippines and a lady that had a third stroke in 3 weeks in a wheelchair, drooling. Her whole half of her body was paralyzed, and God said, pray for her, I'm going to set her free. And it just a really simple prayer of faith, and that lady stood out of the wheelchair and started worshiping God in a minute. When each of us do what we're called to do, and I don't know what it is that you're called to do. Is it be generous? Is it extend love? Is it show mercy? Is it pray for the sick? I don't know what it is, but if you do what you do and I do what I do, the kingdom of God grows. Amen? So in the theme of uncomfortable, the title of my message this morning is, it's Trump time. And this isn't a political message, but it's Trump time. I was praying this morning, and I believe that 2020 is a year where you're going to see four streams flowing in increased measure towards this house. And just as I was praying this morning, these four streams are the stream of salvation, the stream of discipleship, the stream of finances, and the stream of supernatural impact. I felt specifically this morning that God spoke that into my heart, that there's four streams of increase flowing towards this house. And as each of you step into your specific place and position of anointing, you're going to see God magnify the efforts of this church. And I got to tell you, you're put on this planet to produce, not just to consume. It's nice to have, but I got to tell you, the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. And God wants to fill you to overflowing. He wants to fill you beyond capacity so that what's in you gets on other people. And the world we're living in needs transformation. The world we're living in needs the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our X factor in life. It's the difference between living average, boring, and mundane. I don't want to be average. The definition of average is the best of the worst and the worst of the best. I don't want to be average. I don't want to be beige. I don't want to be boring. I want to live a colorful life. I want to see lives transformed and the devil put in his place. Amen? Come on, let's give God a hand clap this morning. In Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and know that I am always with you, even to the end of the age.'" I love this scripture. It's I have all authority. I have all power. I am the one that decides what's happened, and I am giving you that authority. If you will step up into it, if you'll receive the gift that I want to give to you, you can walk in authority, you can live in dominion, you can overcome and experience success and joy in life beyond anything you've ever dreamed of. 1 Corinthians says, thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to walk as a victim. You don't have to walk defeated. You can walk in victory in life in Jesus Christ. And it's not in and of yourself. It's in connection and relationship with Jesus Christ. And I really wanted this scripture to come alive to our church. So I wrote an evangelism course that we cover over 3 weeks. And over the course of the 3 weeks, we covered the fact that each and every one of us, and this is for you here today, we have something to give. You've got something to give to the world. And it's the gift of the gospel. The gospel is the good news that anyone who believes, anyone who calls on the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. So we've got the gift of the gospel, and we've got something to say, your testimony. Revelation tells us that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony is powerful because it's your testimony. It's your story. It's what you've walked through, what you've experienced, what's come upon you and positioned you to where you are today. And the third thing is that you've got something to show. The Holy Spirit isn't given to us for us. The Holy Spirit is given to us for us to show the world the power of God and His ability. And I love what it says in Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to Him," not me, "Him, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask of, to Him be the glory." Now to Him who is, God is able to move in your world and to move through your world to see other lives touched and blessed. The church is not meant to exist for Sunday. The church is meant to gather on Sunday to celebrate the goodness of God, to bring the glory to Him, to take the power out on Monday into the world that we find ourselves, to go out and see what lives transformed. Like Pastor Phil was saying, our families, our friends, our co-workers, our enemies, our schoolmates, whoever it is that we encounter, we take the love of Christ, we take the power of God out into the world and make a difference. Amen? God wants to partner with you so that the world will be one to Him. And I know that we sit here and we come into church. That's awesome. That's fantastic. You must be talking to the person beside me. God wants to partner with you right where you are, just as you are, with your personality and your insecurities and your brokenness and your failings. God wants you. He chooses you. Will you choose Him? Because when we have a commissioning service, when we have something, it's just about saying, will you take a step? And step into all that God has called you to be. Because we're labeled by so many things in life. We're labeled by our past. We're labeled by our failures. We're labeled by opinions. We're labeled by words that have been spoken over us. And we have to make a decision. Am I going to live in camp fear or camp faith? Am I going to accept what's been declared by man, or am I going to accept what's been declared by God? Because the Bible says that you're the righteousness of Christ. He says that you're the head and not the tail, that you're above and never beneath. It says that you can live in victory, that you don't have to live, you know, succumbing to the circumstantial and societal value. You can live beyond because of God and the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? God wants to use you. So I just basically wanted to describe who we are as the church this morning. Is that all right? And then we're going to give you an opportunity to respond and say, yeah, you know what? I'm all in. You know what? I'm sold out. I want to go for God. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled. And Matthew says that those that hunger and thirst will be filled. Not those that deserve, not those that earn, not those that work for it, not those that excel, those who hunger and thirst. All you need is a passion and a desire for more of God in your life, and He will pour it towards you. It says every good and perfect gift comes to us from the Father in heaven. It says that God pours out liberally and without reproach to anybody that calls on Him, desiring more of Him. So for me, every time I come to church, I want more of God. I want to experience more infilling. I want to change. I need to change. I'm broken. I'm flawed. I have insecurities. I have failings. I need more of God, because the Bible says that we're being transformed daily into His image. We need more of God, but we actually need to desire more of God more than we desire more of other things. I don't need another house. I don't need another car. I don't need another servant. I need more of God first and foremost in my life. And that's what Matthew 6 says. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So it's not about seeking more things. It's about seeking, God, where should I be positioned? Where should I stand? What should I do? And I know that You will add all these other things. Who are we as the church? Matthew 5 verse 13 says, you're the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out, trampled underfoot as worthless. You're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Father in heaven. You are salt and light. That's who you are. Be salt and light in the earth. Salt does two things. It flavors and it preserves. Light illuminates and brings guidance. We're called to flavor people's lives and bring illumination to their paths. That in a dark and dying world where people are broken and hurting and looking for answers, the church gets an opportunity to stand, rise, and say, I'm going to represent Christ in the earth today. And honestly, life is too short to live for self. I'm 44. When we met, I was probably 24, you know, and 20 years has gone like that. When we met, we had no kids, no gray hairs, didn't need glasses, had good hips. I just had double hip replacement and had, you know, today we got kids, glasses, gray hairs. You've got good hips. I don't, but actually I've got great hips now. I've got $60,000 hips. Titanium. I beep every time I go through the airport, get the pat down. It's amazing. Would you like to go on the side? No, you just knock yourself out. You were put on this planet to enhance lives and illuminate people's worlds. There are people in your life right now that need what you have. There are people in your life right now. See, you go, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. How do I act? If you wait on the Spirit, if you wait in the Spirit, God will give you the wisdom you need in every situation you find yourself. How does Phil lead a lady to Christ who's dying and desperate? By waiting on the Holy Spirit and speaking the words of heaven that are needed in that moment. We don't have to be religious. We don't have to be over the top shoving the word of God down people's mouths, but we can be us. Let God flow through your uniqueness, through your personality. Do what you do. I'll do what I do. You do what you do. Stay in your lane. Run your course. I love what it says in Hebrews 12. It says, because we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those that lived in faith and died in faith, who are now standing in the corridors of heaven, overlooking the balconies, cheering us on. It says, because we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us cast off every weight and sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance. This is a marathon, not a sprint. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. The world needs to see Jesus. The only way they're going to see Jesus is through you. And when we look to Jesus, we start looking like Jesus. Because what I focus on, there's a saying that you travel in life in the direction of your dominant thoughts. What do you think about the most? What do you focus on the most? What are you consumed by? What is the vision that plays across in your mind? I just want to look to Jesus. I want to look upon his goodness. I want to look upon his mercy and his grace. And I want to receive the power that's available in him. What are you looking at? Timothy says this, stir up the gift of God which has been given to you through the laying on of hands. Corinthians says that each of us has been given the spirit of faith, that the spirit of faith has been deposited on the inside of us, but we've got to work that spirit. We've got to do something with that spirit. I got to tell you, when I come to a prayer line or I come to a meeting like this, I've got nothing but God. I've got the word of God. But I'm not a doctor. I have no doctorates. I have no medical training. But all across the globe, there are people that have been healed in an instant because I chose to be a conduit for the power of God. You see, God will flow through empathy. God will flow through sympathy. God will flow through your generosity. God will flow through prayer. God will flow through prophecy. But again, if you do what you do, God will flow through that. See, the connection point to the power of heaven is just our faith in God. Not in what we learn, not in what, upskill yourself, learn, become the best you that you can, but then remember that you have to be God-reliant in all you do for his power to flow through your life. And I apologize to the screen, guys, because none of this is in my message. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, though. You can go there if you want. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim of him the praises who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are the ones that God called out and chose and accepted. That's who you are this morning. You're salt, you're light, you're chosen, you're forgiven, you're redeemed, you're sanctified. God has called you to live beyond the constraints of societal standards. You don't have to fit in. I suck at fitting in. I don't fit in. And I can't help it. I want to be more like God than I am like the world. And I'm not there yet. I'm still journeying. Ask my son, ask my family. I'm still journeying. Nobody's perfect, but do something where you're at. Let yourself be the called out ones. Accept the fact that God accepts you. See, most of us have accepted Jesus into our lives. Yep, show of hands. Most of us would have said, Jesus, be my Lord and say, I accept you as my Lord. We now accept you because he accepts you. God accepts you as you are. Stop beating yourself up about the things that God's forgotten. Because the word of God says, as far as the east is from the west, I remember not. Why are you remembering the things that happened 20 years ago that God has forgiven you for? That he's wiped the slate clean, that he says you've got a fresh start, you've got a new day. It says that anybody that's in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Romans says all things work together for good. You go, but they're not all good. He goes, no, but I live outside the bounds of time. So though you're walking through challenge, though you're walking through stress, take your eyes off what you face and look to me, because I'm out here going, no, it's all good. And you're back here going, no, it's not good. I'm facing challenge. I'm facing struggle. I'm facing financial ruin. My relationship. He goes, yeah, but if you keep walking, looking to me, you'll be of effect in the earth. You'll bring transformative power to other people's lives because they'll see you travel through tough times looking to me and overcoming in the process. Amen. How do we live like Jesus wants us to live? How do we live looking like Jesus? It says this in John 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I love this. Getting uncomfortable. What does love require of me today? And I don't know about you, but it's easy to slip into selfish living. It's easy to slip into me and mine. That's mine. That's what I want. That's what I desire. That's what I need. Love one another as I have loved you. God sent his only begotten Son that anyone would believe in him, would not perish, but would have eternal life. The way he demonstrated love was to give. What God expects of each of us is that we'll give of ourselves. We'll give of ourselves to others. We'll give of ourselves to our community. We'll give of ourselves to opportunities that present themselves. And I think of the story of the talents, the 5, 2, and 1 talents, that a master gives his servants some talents. 1, 5, 1, 2, 1, 1. The guy that he gave 5 talents to went out and put those talents to work and doubled his efforts. And he ended up with 10 talents. The one with 2 talents went out and did the same. He used what he had and doubled, and he had 4 talents. Seeing he increased. Isaiah 54 says, enlarge the place of your tent. Extend your borders. Strengthen your stakes. Reach out to the left and to the right. The one with 1 talent, he went and buried it. And you know what? In life, it's easy to bury our lives and just fit in and just acquiesce to whatever's going on around us, to get beige and not stand out. But it says that the master returned and asked for an account of what they had done with what he'd given them. It says, to the one who had got 5 more, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy. To the one who had 2, he said, well done, faithful servant. To the one that buried his talent in the ground, he said, you wicked and lazy servant. You should have at least put that money in the bank to gain some interest. But you were so fearful, you were so timid, you were so locked up and bound in life that you buried what I'd placed inside. You see, the master requires of each of us to use what he's placed inside of us. And God has placed on the inside of each and every one of you gifts, talents, anointings, and abilities that he wants you to shine bright. He wants you to flavor your world. He wants you to do you to bring glory to him. Amen. James 1:2. Is this helping anybody? I'm going to pray in a minute, but is this helping anybody? Oh, I'm just going to have a drink of water. Talk among yourselves. James 1:22 says this. Don't just listen to God's word. Do what it says. I don't know. I love the word of God. I'm doing a Bible reading program, Bible in a year. I'm doing a Smith Wigglesworth 365-day devotional. I'm reading a book a month. I love reading. I love consuming. I love information. I love truth. I love revelation. The word of God, it's life. It's amazing. It's easy to read, and it's not so easy to do. We come in and we're all religious, and I'm reading the Bible in a year. I need to be doing the Bible in a year. I need to be outworking the Bible. I need to be obeying the Bible in a year, not just reading. It's don't just listen to the Word of God. Do what it said. Otherwise, you're fooling yourselves. The church isn't a place where we gather to pat each other on the back. You're awesome, and you're awesome, and you get a car. Church is a place where we come together to unite in faith, to be sharpened, to go out and do the Word of God. I want to call you out this morning. Don't be average. Don't be mundane. Don't conform. God's not interested, or don't conform to the world. God's not interested in your comfort. He's interested in your conformity to His image. The way we get transformed into the image of God is to consume the Word of God, to trust and rely and stand on the Word of God. You can be all that the Bible says that you are, but you have to step up and step out into it. Amen? If you listen to the Word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, forget what you look like, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. The definition of blessing is, you know, in Psalm 1 it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of wicked, stands in the way of sinners, sits in the way of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by streams of living water that yields its fruit in season. Whatever he does shall prosper. We're called to yield fruit in life, to produce, not just to consume. The definition of blessing in the Bible is happy, prosperous, envied. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants others to look on and go, I need what you have. And you know, we should never have to tell anybody in life we're blessed. They should look at our lives and say, you're blessed. Because the hand of favor of God rests upon your life. Can I encourage you this morning? Don't just listen, do. Action trumps intention. Action always trumps intention. The Bible says if somebody comes to you naked or poor or destitute or broken, and you say, be blessed and send them on their way, what good is that for them? Do something about the situation they find themselves in. That's the church in action. That's faith in action. That's life in Christ, doing something for other people. There's a saying that knowledge plus action equals results. If I walk into a dark room knowing that there's a light switch on the other side of the room, but don't walk over and switch it on, I'm still in a dark room. But we're salt and light. We're called to walk into a room and flick that switch. We have to do something with the knowledge that we have, with the truth that we have, with the word of God that's been planted on the inside of us. We need to activate the Spirit of God. We need to work it. Jude says, stir yourself in your most holy faith. I have to stir myself daily. Christian, you're a man of God. Christian, you carry the power of God. Christian, the Holy Spirit is about. I have to stir myself. I want to encourage you, remind yourself of the good gifts that God has placed in your life. Remind yourself of the good things He has done for you. Remind yourself of the healings you've received, the blessings you've received, the breakthrough you've entered into, because the truth of the Word of God was sown down deep on the inside of your heart. Remember and don't forget what God's done. And I honestly think there's two things that confuse God. And maybe I can get the team up and I'm going to pray in a minute if that's all right. There's things that I feel like God has said He's going to do this morning, things He's going to heal, people He's going to set free. And then we're going to also commission us. We're going to stand as the army of God and put our hands forward, put our foot forward and say, you know what, I'm in, I'm all in. But I honestly believe that the two things that confuse God are unbelief and disobedience. Because the Gospels tell us that Jesus marveled at their unbelief. They'd walked with Him. They'd talked with Him. They've seen what He's done. They've seen the miracles. They've seen the creative miracles and power of heaven manifesting in the earth, and they still didn't believe. And He also marveled at their disobedience. Luke 6 says, why do you call Me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? And how often have we gone, Lord, I love You. Lord, I bless You. I'm going to sing another worship song. I'm going to praise Your name. Lord, I love You. And He says, just pay for that person's lunch. Yeah, a bit short this week. Just go and pray for that person and bless them. Yeah, that's not my personality type. How often have we said, Lord, Lord, and then not done what He said? Can I encourage us? Let's be that church that steps out in obedience. The Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Do you know what the good of the land for me is? When I step out obediently in a word or step out obediently and pray for someone and their life is transformed. That's my reward. That's my blessing. That's my place of joy. That's my infilling, is when I'm doing what He's called me to do. So often we're dissatisfied with life because we're not doing what we've been destined and created to do. We're searching for so many other things and looking for so many other fulfillments in life. But God's just saying, if you'll step into My plan and My purpose, what does Jeremiah 29 say? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Jeremiah 1:5, and I love what Pastor Phil was saying before, that his daughters have been fearfully and wonderfully made for him to enjoy. Every one of our lives have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. God loves you so much that He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to be all that He created you to be. He wants you to experience your best life. He wants to empower you. He wants to cause you to move forward in life. He wants to be the momentum that presses you forward. He wants you to adventure so radically through this life that others look on going, I need what they have. And every single one of us has a choice every single day of our life. Do I let the heaviness and the weight of the immediate or expectation or opinion weigh me down? Or do I shake that thing off And I run my race looking unto Jesus, who is the perfecter of my faith. What are you going to do? How are you going to live? What are you going to accept? You're going to live in camp fear or camp faith? I want to make a difference. Because I tell you this, the devil comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. There's no neutral ground in the kingdom. You can be average. You can be mundane. You can be beige, but the enemy will still come attacking. Will still come roaring, will still come against your family, against your friends, against your life, against your circumstances. I want to rise up and say, not today, devil. You're not having my life. You're not having my family. You're not having my joy. You're not having my peace. You're not robbing from me anymore, because Jesus Christ came to give me life and life more abundantly. Come on, let's give him a mighty hand clap this morning. Bible says that you're made by God and for God. You and your life bring joy to God. Be who you are. It says in Romans 11, 36, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. Everything comes from him, exists by him, and is intended for his glory. I'm going to finish with this and then we're going to pray. There's a great scene in Braveheart where William Wallace turns up to the battlefield and the Scots are there and the opposing army. And he turns up, blue and white face, on his horse, wielding his sword. And he says, "Brother Scots, what will you do? Will you fight?" And they said, "We won't fight. We will run and we will live." He says, "Yes, if you run, you will live for a while. But what would you do every day from then till now to be able to stand up and say, you can take my life, but you'll never take my freedom?" The Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Can I encourage you this morning? Don't live bound by the lies of the enemy. Don't live bound by the experiences of the past. Don't live bound by insecurity and fear or guilt or shame. Let the Spirit of God, the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Can I encourage you to receive that freedom this morning? Can I encourage you to say, no more. I'm not going to be held bound anymore. I'm not going to be limited anymore. I'm not going to be held back anymore. I'm moving forward in life because the Spirit of God has been deposited on the inside of me and I'm free. It says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. What will you do with your freedom? I know that God is here this morning calling you out, each and every one of you. Will you be all that I've created you to be? You don't have to do it in your own strength. You don't have to do it in your own intellect. I will do it for you. Just welcome me into the middle of your situation. Welcome me into the middle of your pressure, the middle of your disaster, the middle of your storm, the middle of your victory. Welcome me in and watch what I will do with your life. I'm telling you, there's transformation power in this house this morning. And if you will just say, you know what, God, I'm giving you all of me. I'll be commissioned into your army. I will be that royal priesthood. I will be that holy people. I will stand. I will rise. And I will be all that. If you will do that, I'm telling you, God is faithful unto his word. And he will fill you afresh this morning. He will fill you to overflowing. Can we just stand to our feet this morning? Can we all just close our eyes and lift our hands? Holy Spirit, come right now. Do what only you can do. We are your kids and we stand in your presence this morning. Expectant, Lord God, of more of you. We're desiring more of you. We're hungering. We're thirsting. We're wanting more of you, Lord God. Jesus, why don't you just start praying in the Spirit? Why don't you just start thanking God for your life, your circumstances, what you're going through, what you're facing? Because he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you right now. It seems dark, but he's going to illuminate your path. I just love the passion, the focus, and the intent of your pastors that don't want you to stay the same, that don't want you to go through another year like you went through last year, that want 2020 to be a brand new year for your life, for 2020 to set the course and the trajectory for the rest of your lives. The Bible says that the way of the righteous winds upwards. And you go, but I'm not righteous. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. The Bible says that we're made righteous by our faith in Christ. Not by what you do, not by what you earn, not by what you know, but where you place your trust and faith. If you're saying, Christian, this morning, commission me into the army. I want to rise up in this house. I want to be all that God's called me to be. I want to run in my lane. I want to fulfill my purpose and mission in life. Would you just lift your hands all across the hall? Thank you. Hands going out everywhere. Thank you. And I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and seal this decision this morning. Father, we thank you that you have called us, you have chosen us, you have positioned us, that we are your family, we are a holy people, a royal nation. Lord God, a priesthood, ambassadors of you in the earth. God, by your Spirit, come right now, descend in power, descend in fire, descend, Lord God, with the authority of heaven upon every single person whose hands are raised in this house this morning. Let them know, Lord God, that you are with them, that you are filling them. God, let them experience breakthrough right now, transformation in their life. Holy Spirit, have your way. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in the earth. And I'm thanking you right now for those four flows and streams of increase that are coming towards this house, of salvation, of discipleship, Lord God, of finances, the supernatural, Lord God, manifesting in meetings, in connect groups, in prayer meetings, at homes, where people talk on the telephone, Lord God, when they pray for somebody in their shopping mall, Lord God, I pray for the supernatural to break out in this house. Holy Ghost, you are welcome in this house. You are welcome in this house. Father, let this be sealed with peace. Let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding drop on every single person in this room this morning, that they know, Lord God, that they are touched of heaven afresh today. Jesus. Jesus. Would you just stand here for a second? Thank you, Lord. We're going to worship in a minute, but I got a word when we were at the very beginning of service. Would you just turn and face me? It's Danny, right? Your voice is magnificent. Amazing. I see like the enemy's come against you and he's tried to bind you up. It's like he's tried to hem you in and cage you. And I literally saw as you were worshiping, it was almost, I'm worshiping despite my circumstance and despite how I feel internally. And God said he's going to set you free today. And I literally saw chains dropping from you. I saw a glass ceiling over you shattering. And the limitations that have been placed upon your life by man and by the enemy are getting broken today. I think you know what I'm talking about. And I literally saw you running through a field of sunflowers. And there was joy abounding. And it wasn't a smile that you painted on. It was true joy bubbling from the inside. It says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You're going to run in strength. You're going to run in your lane. You're going to run. You've done things to impress or appease others. Now you're going to do it because it brings joy to you and joy to God. It's a brand new day of anointing for your life. It's a brand new day of increase. God's going before you to open doors that have been shut and shut purposefully and with the intention of hurting you. And God says, I will open doors that no man can shut. And I will create a way for you to move forward to be all that I've called you to be. Just close your eyes. For some people, if that's all right. But I want to do one more thing before I do. Is that okay? One more time, and I'm sorry to do this to you, but can we just close our eyes all across the hall? I was thinking about it the other day. I made a decision 27 years ago to ask Jesus into my life. I made a lot of decisions since, and none has had more impact or more benefit to my world than that one decision. Greatest thing by far that I've ever done was to ask Jesus into my life and to walk the path that he's called me to walk. Haven't done it perfectly. I've made a whole lot of mistakes. But every single step of the way, he's walked that journey with me and wrapped his arms around me. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your life, or you once were close to God, you journeyed with him and something's happened, life happened, and you're not journeying as closely as you used to, I'm not going to call you out in the front. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, and together corporately we're all going to pray a prayer together, but nobody's looking around, every eye's closed. If that's you here today, would you lift your hand and say, Christian, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Thank you. I want to come back into right relationship with Him. If that's you, nobody's looking around, would you just lift your hand and say, yeah, Christian, that's me. I want to make that decision this morning. I want Jesus Christ in my life. I want to know the peace of God in my heart. I want to know the plans and purposes that God has. Would you just lift your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who else is here this morning? Your heart's beating in your chest. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, can we all say this prayer together? Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for paying the price for my sins. I accept salvation now. The full and complete work of the cross. You are such a good God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we give God a mighty hand clap? There's like four or five people that lifted their hands. And if you did do that, would you come and see one of the team, Michael, Phil, Nat, one of the team afterwards, because they want to give you something. They want to give you a gift and help you journey in your walk of faith. But you know what? I felt like God was speaking to me earlier and He's going to heal a few things. Would you like me to do this now? Would you like me to... You got to get desperate for change. And there's a saying that sometimes people don't change until the pain of staying the same exceeds that of change. Can I encourage you this morning? You don't have to stay the same. We don't play church. We don't play, this is the house of God. This is the house of God. This is a house of power and transformation. If you've got pain in your body right now, would you come forward? I know God's going to heal you. Like He did last night with that lady with pain in her hip for 8 weeks. It's been going to physiotherapy 3 times a week. You know what, right where you are right now, we're going to worship. Can I encourage you, if you've got needs in your world, if you've got desires in your life that only God can fulfill, why don't you lift your hand right now where you're at as we worship and let God touch you where you're at. There's somebody here and you've got a blood condition. Who's that? God's going to heal you. Is that you? You just raised your hand? Yeah, come forward, please. God's going to heal you this morning. Is somebody and you get really bad migraines, would you come forward? There's people with joint pain. Is that you? Yeah, just stand there. God's going to heal you. Somebody with bad lower back pain. That's you? God's going to heal you. I know He is. If you've got a need and you want to get prayed, I just want to honor time this morning. But if you want prayer this morning, you want to be filled to overflowing, you want something to break off your life, you want to enter into breakthrough, I want you to come forward in faith, believing that God is going to meet you at that point of need this morning. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.